Hello, everyone, and welcome to Heavy Potter's Heavy Cast, episode 60, the end of the year, album of the year deliberations, part two, with Eden again. Hello, Eden.
Hello.
We are coming off fresh from our top 45 that we recorded last week, which you can go back to and listen to and also look at the post. We'll have the top 45. We started with like 80 something albums, right? And then we whittled it down to 45. Now we got to whittle it down to an ordered 20 item list and then ordered 10 item list.
I want to die.
Well, actually, an unordered 20 item list and an ordered 10 item list.
I still want to die.
Yeah, it's going to be bad.
Yeah.
It's going to hurt. So I will offer the first cut to you.
Wait. I don't want to call it the cut.
Okay.
The cut was for 45. Now we got to go, you know, more extreme.
Yeah.
So we need a noun.
We need a noun. The vape.
No. The vape.
The vape out.
The vape out.
Okay. Done. Vape one album out from this list.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Now tactics start to come in, right? Because I can't go for your headquarters, right?
Yeah.
Because you're too well protected there. So I got to attack you from Pitts Miniman.
I mean, Jimmy's in my band. Jimmy's my bro. I love this album. But there are other things that I got to protect at this point. But it's excellent. Tom and Jimmy are both in my album. Sorry, guys. Love this album. But I can't defend it against other things here. I got to make some sacrifices. Last episode I said that there are a few instrumental jazzy wanky albums that keep my attention, and this one is actually one of those. It's super fucking great.
Yeah, it's incredible. I think that it also does a lot of things that you don't expect it to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to say something a bit weird. It breaks the mold in an unexpected way.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you take this norm, and then you say, how will Pitts Miniman break this norm? And then you can call, you know, you can call how they'll deviate, right? Yeah. So they still deviate, which makes it great, but you kind of...
Sorry, we had a little bit of a technical issue there, but yeah, long story short. Pitts Miniman is great.
Vaped. And,
sorry, it's vaped out. Sorry, guys.
Bye.
All right. Gotta vape out something from your end. Do we vape out Latitudes?
No. That's in my top 10.
Okay. Not vaping that one out yet. Let me vape something out. Something else. Cult of Luna?
Okay, yeah. We can do that. Actually, you kind of hit like a weird spot on my list.
Huh.
Everybody went crazy for this album.
Mm-hmm.
Like, holy shit, some people were calling it the best post-metal album ever. And I really, 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 really liked it, and it's on this list right after the first cut. But I didn't go insane for it. Mostly because Mouth of the Architect happened, mm-hmm. and they do more interesting stuff, I feel, with the post-metal sound. And secondly, because it didn't seem to me like such a huge departure from what Cult of Luna have always done.
Mm-hmm.
Julie Christmas is fantastic. By the way, she also worked with Mouth of the Architect, so
yeah.
That's an interesting incestuous relationship there. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. It's fantastic, but it didn't reel me back in like Mouth of the Architect did. I didn't find as many excuses to listen to it. When it was in shuffle, I skipped its tracks more often than Mouth of the Architect. So yeah it kind of got redundant.
Vaped out. Your turn.
I'm gonna get so much hate for what I just said. like, people fucking super in love with this album.
I don't like this genre too much, so I have no problem vaping it out.
Yeah. Can I attack Aliases now?
Yeah. Fair. I wanted to make the cut. I like the album. I think it's underrated. It's probably gonna be, like, in my top 15. It's a really good album. It's... Perhaps it wouldn't be so high if there was anything else in that genre this year that I really liked.
Sixth?
The UK tech genre, sixth wasn't this year.
Sixth was this year?
No.
It
was last year, dude. Sorry. It was this year. I would have included it.
Oh, it was at the very end of 2015.
Yep. Past the year was last year.
Okay, so yeah.
So yeah, and also I've been waiting for this album for a long time, so I'm also like hyped up for it, and it has some really cool stuff, great vocals, cool ideas, and probably the best UK tech release that came out this year.
Yeah.
But in a year where Safety Fire was still a thing, if No Sin Evades His Gaze made an album, if Sixth made an album, there were other albums that could have come out this year that would have upstaged this, but in the lack of that, it's high in my list, but I am fine with letting it go.
Yeah, and it's kind of like
vaped out,
included because it doesn't have any competition within its subgenre.
Yeah.
Which says a lot about the potential of it being kicked out.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore we feel easier, you know, actualizing that defoundment. I also love the album.
Yeah.
It does some things amazing, and then other things are kind of stock.
Yep.
Yeah.
Riverside.
Oh boy. Yeah, I can cut this now. Mostly because, like Ulver, it's reworked material.
Mm-hmm.
But unlike Ulver, I feel it's more honest. It also has the context of Pewter's
death, yeah.
Yeah, untimely demise. Mm-hmm. And some of these reworks are fantastic. I think that what they do really well is that you listen to it, and even if you don't look at the title, or you're not a super fan like I am, and you can't make the connections because sometimes the titles aren't obvious, mm-hmm. You're like, oh, I don't know this Riverside track. And then one fucking line they'll include from the original track.
Yeah.
And it sends chills down your body because suddenly you're thrown back into when you originally heard the track.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of it feels there just for the sake of doing that. Mm-hmm. Right? Just for the sake of the callback. And it often, I feel like it should have been much shorter. It's a double CD.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Coherence and length are my issues with the album.
Yeah, it needs to be cut down. I understand why they included all of this because it's
summary. Makes it hard to cut, right? Because
exactly.
You feel like an asshole.
Not just because of Pewter's death, but also because it's their summary of this chapter of their career.
Yeah.
So they included some stuff that otherwise they wouldn't have included because they were just chronologically within that period, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if they hadn't released it here, then when would they have released it?
Yeah.
But if we look at it, yeah. And if you look at it objectively, though, it doesn't make for entirely convincing runtime.
And at this point, we're not cutting albums because there's problems with them. It's that we like them, but not as much as other things that we like. So that's kind of the different theme of this episode from last week, in that we're killing our children.
Yeah.
Vape out my kids. Vape out your kid of mine.
I hope you enjoy your sadism.
Yeah, well, we have to.
Oh, you know what this is? This is two dudes going to a special place.
Oh.
This magnified episode is magma.
That we cut that one last week, unfortunately.
Fall of Troy.
Want to bring it back, though? Yeah, no.
No.
I want to cut Fall of Troy later. I'll probably give it at some point, but I feel like I should give up something else in response to Fall of Troy. Let me look at this list.
You want to go for the friends zone again?
Friend zoned here.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, just I'll offer up my friend, the Fountainhead album. I love it.
That's not the friend I was going for.
Oh, well, I have many friends. Sorry, dude. Unlike you. I love Tom. He's great. This album is really good, and I enjoyed it. The guitar work on this is great. I really love the tracks with the vocals. They were a bit controversial in the community. Some people didn't love them. I love them. And this album definitely needs a lot of love. But I don't know. I actually like Pitz Minimum a bit more than this album. I think his work on Pitz Minimum is more diverse. Some of the highs he hits on this album are higher. But he also hits higher highs on another album this year that I'm not going to let get cut. I let you cut Pitz Minimum, so I have to let you cut this one too.
Yeah, I agree. Not much to add here. I agree with what you said. I also feel it suffers from the same issue of not having enough vocals to kind of dispel the monotone. Which is not to say this album is monotone, but at certain points I would have liked more vocals.
Sorry, I'm kind of sick this week.
Which is a you're sick. Yeah.
Okay. Let me. Let's see. What do I cut from here? I can't cut. How do you feel about Astronoid?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm willing to give this one up right
Wait,
now.
Wait, let's... are you willing to give this one up now? Because remember that we need to preserve a top 20.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I don't think it deserves a top 20 spot.
Okay.
So, over, you know, last week and a bit this week, I said the word gimmick a lot. Mm-hmm. And I think this album is a good example of how you do a gimmick.
It's a good gimmick.
It's a good gimmick. Dream Thrash. What the fuck is that?
That's not a Where real... Where did that come from? It's not Dream Thrash. Like, I know, but...
I
appreciate it, but there's nothing thrash here.
Yeah, but when you listen to it, you kinda... It gives you a vibe,
It's
right?
more exciting post-rock.
It's not more exciting post-rock. It's more post-rock Death Haven.
Sure.
Okay? This album has amazing, amazing, amazing tracks. Up and Adam... Mm-hmm. is fantastic. Yeah. Title track.
Cool pun, by the way.
Yeah, Up and Adam is, yeah, that's a really good title. But there are a lot of tracks in this album that I can't even remember because everything kind of blends away. I feel that for sure, 100%, the strongest part on this album is the vocals and the interesting things that they do. Mm-hmm. But the guitars are, yeah, you know how to tremolo pick. and it does it again and again and again and again. It's a really good concept because it takes that tremolo pick and it does delay stuff to it, right?
Yeah.
And lots of reverb and really cool stuff. And the production is really unexpected, but too much of it is
too much.
Major chords again. It kind of gives the same feeling and yeah. It's good, it's gimmick, good enough.
I mean, I like it. It's good album, but, I would not want another album of this.
Yeah, for sure. Bye.
Bye. All right, your turn. I feel like there's a couple of albums that we, neither of us particularly loves too much, but neither of us want to attack them because it's like a back and forth at this point, and if you attack them,
you open yourself up.
Yeah, so let us, if you will, for one go around, let us have a peace treaty and get rid of some of the albums that neither of us like that much.
Yeah. Okay, Hannes Grossmann.
No, that's an album that I actually like.
But you don't love it.
No, I'm talking about stuff like Metallica.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. And, yeah, Metallica, okay.
Okay, yeah.
And the Doom OST.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll cut both of them and then continue with the deep cuts. So Metallica is a good album, but it's too long and it's not an amazing album. It's their best album since Justice, sure, but
yeah, I think that's what got it on this list.
Yes,
also certain tracks like Spit Out the Bone,
Atlas Rise, Moth Into Flame.
Yeah, like Atlas Rise, Dream to None, the one with Big Money, Salvia. we're not gonna explain the joke. It's pretty niche, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, fantastic tracks, but all of them are too long. Even the good ones.
I mean, fantastic tracks and where to find them, but too many of them.
Oh god.
No, there's a lot of okay. This album is a good Metallica album, but it also has led many people to kind of give a pass to them for having a bunch of boring ass tracks.
Yeah.
Like Murder
sure.
One.
Also, still too much whammy.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
And Doom. Yeah, Doom. Great OST. Okay, I love the game. It's probably in my top three games of the year, if not top two. Love the game. Love the soundtrack. But like, I really don't want to sit down and listen to that much of it.
Yeah. It's great. A soundtrack.
Yeah, it's a soundtrack. It's great. And it's not just the sound. It's been rearranged to fit an album format, but it's still a soundtrack.
Yeah, I agree.
It's great. Amazing. And the live performance was cool, if too short. I understand why it was short, obviously. Yeah, gotta go.
Yeah, goodbye. Okay.
So I'm
it's back on.
Yeah, you were the one cutting things.
So it also I have to consider like what you would be willing to okay yeah. So the world is a colder place now.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Again, the friend zone.
Friend zone, going for my friends. You hate my friends because you have none. I love Eric, obviously, and I love Drew. And this was, again, we had them on the podcast.
And this is also a cut for me.
Yeah. We both really like this album. I don't know. It's a very personal album. It has some great tracks, and I'm kind of involved in this album. Like, anything on this album I didn't write myself, but I've played some of these tracks live. And I've been around while they were being written. I feel like if I advocate for this album too much, it's almost unfair because I'm too involved. So
what I can say here is that it's an amazing album. But sometimes I feel that parts of it were subdued to make way for the format, and the delivery of the poetry, of the lyrics, stuff like that. And also, they do an amazing job at it, at the synergy between Eric's style and Drew's style, but still, it's not 100%.
Yeah.
And it's impossible to do 100%.
I also wanted more from it, by the way.
Yeah, I agree with that. I feel like there could have been more exploration, more daring, perhaps.
Mm-hmm. All right, my turn. So there are a few albums that I know you really like, but I don't know just how much you really like them.
Yeah.
So let's see. How do you feel about Inter Arma?
Yeah, I can cut that, actually.
Okay.
I'll tell you why. Because Inter Arma are one of my all-time favorite bands.
Mm-hmm.
The Cavern, which is an hour-long EP from 2015 or 14. And their debut, Sky Burial, are amazing. And Paradise Gallows is equally as good. It really doubles down on the heavy parts. Super, super heavy when it goes hard. And then it kind of also doubles down on the psych, the psychedelic parts.
Mm-hmm.
And that cuts it in half. It doesn't feel like one album. It has Potomac and Where the Earth Meets the Sky, which are amazing psychedelic tracks, more akin to, Neurosis' vocalist, Steve Vaughn, whatever. Wow. And like, Windhand and stuff like that. And then, the heavier tracks like Transfiguration are so heavy that they have almost nothing in common with the lighter parts of the album. And that kind of tells it into two different albums for me, and takes away from the complete listening. So I can give it up at this point.
Okay.
Although it hurts.
Yeah. I got the vibe that you weren't super in on this album. I mean, you were pretty positive at first, but then you didn't keep talking about it. So I was kind of like...
So Simon, we reviewed it together, and Simon put it at number one. And I put it like at number 17.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay. I'm sorry. But Fallujah.
I really love Fallujah too much, so instead I'll offer Leander.
Okay. Yeah, I'll take it.
Good album. I don't think it's his best album. It's his second best album. It's a good comeback. Like, he had troubles with his lineup and band and did stuff. And some really strong tracks in here, but also that his style has kind of started to stagnate, and he's broken that with some songs and hasn't broken it with others. So it's like half amazing album, half okay album. So I'll give it up.
Yep.
Spellcaster?
Yeah. Okay, so I talked about Atlas Rise, right? I love Iron Maiden. I love heavy metal. I think there were great ideas there. And a lot of the... sorry for being a douche, but a lot of the joie de vivre that metal lost somewhere in the 90s, where everything had to become serious. And Spellcaster are a really good fallback to that. They're not just satisfied with being a fallback. They sound great, their composition is great, and they nail the aesthetic. You know, the leather jackets, the wolf howling at the moon, the solos, all that stuff. But at the end of the day, it's still a fallback, right?
Yeah.
It's still ideas that we have like 16 Iron Maiden albums. I don't think we need another one.
And
Iron Maiden are still making music.
It's a good throwback, but it's not an excellent throwback.
I think it's an excellent fallback.
Okay.
I think it's an amazing fallback, but it's still a fallback.
Yeah.
So I can't, let it move on to top 20. not being, you know, a wholly original thing.
Okay.
Done.
Bye. Go ahead.
Textures?
Yeah. I love this album. It's great. And actually, yeah, I'll have to let it go at this point. I'm considering which one. Okay, I'm going to let this go. But I want to keep it in the top 20 if possible. We'll see how it rolls out. So instead, I'll offer an On the Throck. So, okay. Really heavy album, really good. I wasn't a huge fan of the band before, but I love The Hall of the Law. It's really strong, but it's too pummeling for too much of its time, and it keeps adding more and more abrasive elements, and it kind of runs out of things to introduce, like at three quarters of the album, and I really like it, but it kind of trips on its own feet by running out of things to introduce. Because like every song introduces a new thing, but then it's like, okay, well, that's it now. Just enjoy this for the rest of the album. And that's good. I'm okay with it making day two, but I'm okay with it not making top 20 over some of the other things.
Yeah, I agree. Like what you said is exactly how I feel about this album. It's just too much, too early.
Mm-hmm.
And then it kind of loses its flow.
Okay. So this is an album that I'm, again, not really familiar with, so I don't know how much you like it, so feel free to offer something else in return.
Yeah.
Sub Rosa?
Sub Rosa. Yeah, I can offer it at this point.
Okay.
It's an amazing album. Experimental Doom is very hard to pull off properly. Introducing extra elements like backing vocals, violins,
mm-hmm.
Lyrics that usually, not usually in this case, they go against the grain. They don't fall into the Doom cliches, but, and I think Nick would agree with me at this point, it's a bit too much.
Yeah.
It repeats itself too much. Like it really drives the point home. At some places, it would have been better to let it go. It also has a transition track called Il Capio, which is all in Italian.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a cool idea, and it's right in the middle, like an acoustic track, and it just breaks the flow. It's not worth anything, I feel, after the first listen, where it kind of serves its structural point.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I listen to individual tracks from this all the time, but I rarely put on the entire album.
Okay.
Because it's too much.
Bye.
Bye.
I'm not a huge, not very knowledgeable about this album, so I can't really offer meaningful
It's like, content. If I had to choose an album that you'd hate, I would choose this one. Because it's super slow. And you don't like that.
Go ahead. Your turn, I believe.
Yeah, so I feel like at this point, it's not even a back and forth anymore. It's just both of us.
Yeah.
Cutting stuff that we really like.
Yeah, we have to.
I'm going to go back to Fall of Troy.
Yeah, I need to decide between Textures and this, essentially, at this point. I'll offer up Fall of Troy first.
Yeah.
Okay is a really cool album. It's a great comeback. And I was surprised. I was not a huge fan of Fall of Troy, but I ended up really liking this album. It was really great. However, I don't even really know what the last few tracks on the album sound like.
Yeah.
I keep listening to it, but I never keep finishing it. So clearly that's a sign that maybe I don't love it as much as some of the albums that are coming up here.
Yeah, I agree completely. I've heard the first half a million times and then the last half almost never. It kind of overstays its welcome a bit.
Yeah.
Does its thing and then just keeps doing its thing.
All right. Bye.
Goodbye.
Pliny?
No.
Mm.
Way too soon.
Okay. Give me something else then. We're at 30, by the way, right now, if the listeners aren't aware.
Yeah, this is getting
deep.
I'll give you, well, it's also on yours, but let's offer up Borknagar.
Okay.
I'll tell you why.
Okay.
It has ICS Vortex.
He's amazing.
So we
That's not why we're cutting it. That's why we want to keep
it. No, yeah. it's so we love it, but he's not on all the tracks.
Mm-hmm.
And when he's not there, I feel that the vocal performance suffers greatly.
I mean, Wintersorg is great too, and he's on a bunch of tracks too. But like, okay, I think I like all of the vocals, but I just don't like that some of the songs aren't as interesting as some of the other ones.
Yeah, but I think that one of the reasons that are not interesting is that ICS is not there to you know, inject them with his
flow. I like Winter Sorg's vocals too, so I don't agree on that point, but I will agree that the songs themselves are kind of meandering at times.
Yeah, and I feel like, yeah, it's too long. Mm-hmm. Not in the general runtime, but in the runtime of each track.
Yeah, it feels longer than it is.
It also has, interestingly enough, what I call the OPEF problem, where they don't know how to finish tracks.
Mm-hmm.
So they just repeat the same line again and again, and it just ends.
Mm-hmm.
This album does it a bunch of times.
Yeah.
Even on its better tracks, they don't know how to write an outro.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of overstays its welcome and feels almost cringy a bit. That line over and over and over, and then the track just ends.
Yep.
So, yeah.
So this was kind of a redirect where you cut something that we both cared about when it was my cut to New York.
So go again.
Let's see. So yeah, some of these things are either things that I know are pretty dear to you or things that are dear to us both. So I'm having a, I'm assuming you don't want to cut the 65 Days of Static album.
I will not cut that until I die.
Okay. Same probably goes for Catatonia.
Yeah, that's number two on my list.
Okay. Latitudes, you also said was...
Okay, yeah, I can offer Latitudes at this point.
Okay, fine.
So Latitudes is interesting. When I first made my top 50, it was number one.
Mm.
And then I listened to it a few more times, and it started declining.
You made me listen to this album, too. It was one of our playlist swap things, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, that's true. So it's post-metal.
Mm-hmm.
But what it does amazingly is the vocals.
Mm-hmm.
I can't explain it. It's like recording someone whose heart has been broken. It's so sad, and it cuts so deep. But when those vocals aren't playing, a lot of it is too standard. It does interesting things with the drums, but a lot of the album is redundant. If they had released it as an EP with three or four tracks, Body Within a Body, Quandary, the first track, don't remember its name, that would have been much more powerful.
Mm-hmm.
But instead it has kind of bits that feel like this is a post-metal album, so we need this post-metal bit in it. So yeah. If you play into it, if you let it convince you, it's an amazing album. But if you detach yourself a bit from the emotional impact and you look at it objectively, it kind of loses part of its impact.
Oh, well, that's that. I also listened to this album like two times, I think. It has really cool ideas, but it's also kind of disjointed, and it doesn't ever transcend being regular post-metal for me.
Yeah, I can see that.
If it focused more on its cool ideas, I think I would have been happier with it.
Yeah.
It's not super dear to me, so. Okay, your turn, I believe.
Yeah.
28, by the way. So, man, this last 8 tracks is going to be really rough.
Yeah, this is going to be terrible. This is where it gets really, really bad. Because we had some fat to cut.
Mm-hmm.
But now I feel like now...
Stuff that is pretty dear to either of us.
Okay. So this is the friend zone for both of us.
Okay.
A Sense of Gravity.
Can we try to hold on to it until 20?
We can try.
Let me offer you...
Okay, wait. No, let me put something else out there. Either A Sense of Gravity or Cyborg Octopus can make the 20.
God damn it. That's rough.
They can't both make the 20. Yeah. I'm sorry, one of them has to go before
okay.
20, because, yeah.
But we'll have that decision when we're closer to 20.
Fine, I'll allow that.
I'll offer you Textures instead.
Okay, yeah. I wanted to go there, but I felt like I was kind of harping on the same point.
Yeah, I understand. I respect that. Textures is great. Really love this album. Like, a lot of people have a love-hate relationship with every Textures album, and I've always been kind of ambivalent on them. However, this one... Like, I feel like they really hit the mix of catchiness plus proto-gentiness. Mm-hmm. And especially New Horizons is, like, one of my favorite tracks of the year. But my love for the album kind of bleeds through my love of New Horizons. And the rest of it is not as much beloved to me as it is. Like, you know, the love comes in through that and spills over to the rest of it, but doesn't really fill up the tank, you know?
And it also has tracks like Zman.
Yeah, I don't even...
yeah, which are meandering, because there's also a track called Meander.
which is a good track, meanders. By the way, one of the better tracks.
But it, yeah, but it also kind of meanders.
Yeah.
Especially when it leads into Zman. So yeah, it has, like, at this point, it's like, yeah, this album is 60 minutes long and 55 of it is perfect, but those 5 minutes cause us to cut it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. If it was 50 minutes, it would be amazing. And I think it would be harder to cut, but sorry. Is it too preposterous to cut Car Bomb before 20?
No, I don't think it is. Meta is a fantastic album. It's the best album called Meta to be released this year.
It will probably be very high, if not at the top of Heavy Blog's end of the year list.
I mean, William picked it as number one. So
did he? Fuck.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, okay.
It's a fantastic album. It's everything that Meshuggah should have been doing for years now.
Mm-hmm.
It's everything that Dillinger should have been doing for years now.
But I think
people are going to fucking crucify me for this. But it still falls into the traps.
Yeah. And also, I don't think it's in either of ours loved enough list of genres that it makes an intersection of our lists.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's made it this far because it's just so well...
Yeah,
so well thought of. And we also love the album.
Yeah.
But something about it doesn't have the shine of greatness, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. Goodbye.
Bye. So I don't know
who
cut that. Did I cut it? Did you cut it? I don't know.
We both cut it. I think the back and forth is falling apart.
Okay.
At this point.
So I don't know how much you love Mouth of the Architect. I know you really like it, but I don't know if it's...
Yeah, I'm not going to cut it now, no.
Okay. Pliny, you said you want to hold on, right?
What about Shukran?
Let me see. Let me go up and down the list. Yeah, I can't think of anything that I would offer in its place that is not, like, you know, it's equivalent at this point. Like, anything that I can offer is going to be something that I love just as much. So
yeah,
might as well, if you want to take that one out.
Yeah, I think that it's a fantastic album. The best that's been released in its genre for years.
Yeah.
It suffers a bit from its concept, I feel.
It's too short.
Too short, for sure. And some of the ideas, because it's too short, aren't fully realized.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a fantastic album, and it really hurts me to cut it, but...
25. Man, these 25. Last five are gonna fucking suck. I don't think we either love Black Star too much, but I don't want to cut it before 20.
Yeah. Like, okay, it's an amazing album and super well regarded, but what are you gonna offer instead of it?
What are you gonna offer instead of it?
What are you gonna...
Okay, is there anything you would... Huh. Yeah, I can you think of something to offer instead of Black Star?
Yeah, either A Sense of Gravity or Cyborg Octopus. I feel it's time, because both albums
they're the same for the most
they're
part.
The same.
No, yeah, I mean no disrespect to the bands. They're the same course, in terms of how they're really good modern prog metal albums.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, I don't think that these guys can take offense from us at this point. We're very good friends with all of them. You know, we have Dave on Cyborg and Brendan and CJ and all those guys on Sense of Gravity. But I feel that both albums don't transcend, right? They don't take the genre and smash it in the fucking face. But Bowie does. Bowie takes Bowie and fucks it up. Right.
Okay, I will offer a cut, but I will also, like, have an Audible as a result of this. Hey, we didn't plug the podcast, the Audible trial last time. Audibletrial.com/heavy. Support the podcast if you love us. Thank you. Fractal Cypher. I love Fractal Cypher, maybe I love Fractal Cypher more than some albums that are going to get cut now, but I am going to make a sacrifice for the overall quality of the list and offer a Fractal Cypher.
Okay. I also feel like it's a good album to consider as part of a trio with A Sense of Gravity and Cyborg Octopus, because it's also prog. And I feel that it does less than them to break out of the mold.
Yeah. And it's well, Cyborg Octopus is really short, so it's kind of unfair, but it does, Fractal Cyber doesn't really carry its strength throughout the length of it. Even though I love it, even though I love the boring-er parts in the second half, I'm offering this as a offering here.
I mean, I'm just going to go back to a sense of gravity in Cyborg Octopus.
Don't make me cut one of those. Like, okay, if you want to cut a sense of gravity, you're going to have to be the one who cuts it. I will hold on to Cyborg Octopus.
No, I'm going to cut Cyborg Octopus.
No, and I'm saying no. So I've had more time with the Cyborg Octopus album, so it's grown on me more and more. Maybe this is almost unfair at this point. So I would
wait. Why do you have more time with it?
Because it's been out for longer.
Oh, I see. Not more time than me. More time in general.
Yeah. A sense of gravity. So you know, it's at this point.
I'll concede.
Yeah.
And I'll say that the reason I'm conceding is a sense of gravity had travail. Mm-hmm. And Cyborg Octopus has a Learning to Breathe.
Yeah.
It's their breakout album, right? Mm-hmm. It's their album where they prove to us what they can do. It's their Quiet World, right?
Mm-hmm.
Atterment is an amazing album, but it's not A Sense of Gravity's breakout album. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't go too far away from Travail to really stand on its own legs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Learning to Breathe is Cyborg Octopus's moment in the sun, right? So I'm going to cut A Sense of Gravity.
Okay.
Because of meta reasons.
Yeah. And I was going to say that this is a super meta reason, but like I've just spent more time with Cyborg Octopus throughout the year. You know, it's gotten me through more moments than Atrament, and that's super unfair to Atrament, but it's just, we got to make those vape outs. Okay, now you gotta vape out something of your own. Like I'm going to
wait.
Lock...
No. I just I gave up A Sense of Gravity.
Ah, no. Well, ah, yeah. No. Okay, but I gave up A Sense of Gravity.
What?
No, I mean, no. We kind of both gave it up, I guess.
Yeah. It doesn't make any sense, this back and forth anymore. So I don't know.
I've been giving up things that feel like, is there anything you want to give up before we get into 20? Because there's three more things that we got to cut. And at this point, like we are, if I look at this list, you know what? Fine. I will give up one more thing.
No. I can do it. I'll give up Pliny.
Okay. Finally.
I'll tell you why. I feel like, yeah, that's exactly why I'm giving it up. Pliny is niche.
Mm-hmm.
If you love New Pog, this is the best New Pog album ever released. But if you don't like that sound, if you don't like, you know, sweet guitars and super hopeful vibes, then you're not going to enjoy this album at all. He's an incredibly talented guitar player, and I don't think that even you would, argue that he isn't.
Great. I'm not going to argue that.
But yeah, the range of his ideas are limited. Handmade Cities does one thing. It makes you wide-eyed, makes you hopeful, and it doesn't do anything else. It's not dark at any point. It doesn't change things up. So while it's an incredible album, I will only play it when I want to feel one emotion. And that's why it doesn't belong on the top 20.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So this, I mean, at this point, this list is kind of an amalgamation of our top tens plus maybe one or two albums here and there. I guess I really wanted it to make the cut, but I will offer up Hannes Grossman's album.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoy this album. Really cool. And it's long, but doesn't tire me out because there's so much interesting ideas in there. But I take issue with the production a little bit. And at this, like, there's Alkaloid, there's Obscura, there is, fuck, what else is there? I mean, there's within that circle, so that there at this point, it's great and I love it and I hate to let it go, but gotta let it go.
Yeah, I agree.
One more.
Shamash.
I wanted to make the 20.
Baby Metal.
That's in my top five.
Yeah.
I will hold on to that for dear life. Let's see. What's the lowest item on your list of things here?
Let me open that up. Wait, no. Eden fails at Google Docs. Okay. Okay. So what do we have? Indy Halda is number one.
Okay. Well, no, don't tell me the order because that kind of makes it unfair. You have to...
Oh, but yeah, the lowest one is Thosenblatt, but...
Hmm.
Dude.
Well, I mean, like, we're entering dude territory at this point.
I know, but okay, the back and forth is part of it.
I will give you one last offering, but then you gotta start making some cuts on your own end.
It's the top 20. Don't we all order it from there?
I think we order the 10. I think an ordered list of 20 is too much effort, so...
Jesus.
Yeah. Okay. I'll give you Mithras.
Okay.
Great album, great tech death. Best tech death has ever... I mean, best old school tech death in like 20 years. Yeah, I love it. I've talked about it many times at this point. And I hate to see it go, but we gotta make them cuts.
I feel like, again, it's a meta reason that the idea itself is old, right? It's old school. And they do it amazingly. And like you said, it's one of the best albums within the genre in ages, but it doesn't have that sheen, right? Of newness, of groundbreaking. It's fantastic. It's incredible, but we gotta cut.
Okay. I think we have made our top 20. Let me copy this so that we have our top 20 recorded. Okay. So the top 20 list is for the benefit of the listeners, and this is unordered still. 65 Days of Static, Aneon, Ancients, Baby Metal, Clipping, Cyborg Octopus, Dark Tranquility, David Bowie, Fallujah, First Fragment, Isan, Catatonia, Mouth of the Architect, Oathbreaker, Obscura, Shamash, Thank You Scientist, Thrasenblatt, Vector, Indy Halda. Okay.
Yeah.
Now you got
to... I'll give you Ancients.
Okay. Oh, I thought you would hold on to that more.
I mean, I want to hold on to everything.
Yeah, sure. But like...
Okay, so Ancients is a band that basically says, remember when Mastodon were good? And then does that amazingly. But like I just said about Mithras, and that's why I feel I need to give it up, the sound itself is nothing new, right?
Mm-hmm.
Death metal-y, stonel. They've done it before on Heart of Oak, and this album is just as good as Heart of Oak, but it's not better than Heart of Oak.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like when a band releases an amazing album in 2012, when they come back in 2016, I want them to blow me out of the water. And they didn't. They matched the previous album, but they didn't go that one step further. So it's amazing, fantastic. I listen to it almost every week, but something has to give.
Yep.
So it will be this one.
Okay. No, not from that list. The top one is what we're
starting
from.
Yeah.
Undo that. Okay. I already deleted it. Mm-hmm. So, David Bowie. I love it. We just talked about it. That's great.
Yeah.
But I don't think either of us are incredibly passionate about it, so we can...
I feel like we both miss the context that people like Scott and Nick maybe have of the jazz elements and David Bowie's career, which I am... versed in, but not well versed in.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of feel that the punch isn't as powerful. It's an incredible album. Like the title track is one of the best things I've heard in my fucking life. It's
amazing.
But yeah.
I feel like the second half of the album again
is weaker. Yeah.
Yeah. Still great stuff. I love the album, but yeah, we're not incredibly passionate about it. I mean, at this point, these are all albums we really love, but we gotta like pick the ones that we're most passionate about to hold on to.
Yeah, it's basically all your children are running and that guy who's one step behind gets shot.
Yeah. Well, what? No. You're carrying all your children and someone's chasing you and you're throwing your kids at the guy to get away with your favorite kids.
Sure.
Okay. Anything you want to offer up?
Oh, dear God. Okay, I feel like this is for both of us.
Mm-hmm.
But Isan?
Yeah, I knew this was coming.
Yeah, yeah, this was coming.
We couldn't
avoid this.
Love it, but yeah. I mean, it's a
love
great
it,
album.
But
Isan is amazing.
Yeah. Some of it is self-indulgent a bit.
Yeah, which is... I actually like that, but... yeah. It's just...
Yeah, and I feel like it has a few tracks that we always forget about.
Yeah, definitely.
So, like, Mass Darkness.
I love that.
No, these are tracks that we love.
Mass
Darkness, Southern Winds, Celestial Violence. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, if we thought about
it.
Those
are so good that those alone would carry it to our top 20, I think. But, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. I can get rid of Isan. Let's see. I feel like... neither of us love Thrust and Blood in like our top three category, but since we both like it, it's kind of worth keeping it around for a while.
I'll tell you why it's worth keeping it around, because we killed other albums for it.
Yeah.
Because it was the epitome of its genre.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how, so...
I'll give you Clipping.
Okay, I was just gonna ask you about that.
Yeah, I'll give you Clipping. Splendor and Misery.
Mm-hmm.
Has there been a more Eden album, like a space opera, super deep concept form, one of the only hip hop rap bands that I love? Because I've been a Clipping fan for a long time now. This is my first Clipping album, and I love Mid City, and I love the second album Clipping. But this album is also subservient to its concept. It has a lot of transition tracks, which only make sense within the concept. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't put them on my phone. Right? Because I don't want to shuffle and have like a minute of gospel play with static in the background. So when this is on, it's amazing, but it loses some of its punch in favor of its concept. Mm-hmm. So it's gotta go.
Okay. All right. I will offer up my baby of Cyborg Octopus.
Okay. Yeah.
Love this album. Super great. David's been on the podcast a couple times already, and I'm sure he'll be on back again if he doesn't hate us now. and this album will definitely be in my top 10 at the end of the year, but I gotta make some concessions here. Super great prog, really cool, really varied, and personally, it's just really appealing to me. If you go and listen to the episodes that I did with David, like, we're just on the same wavelength, so it's no surprise that I'm on the same wavelength with his music as well. And it really hurts to cut this one, but the only negative thing I can say about this album is, okay, two things actually. One, it's too short, and that's a good negative, but it's still, I want more of it. And secondly, for some reason, I got really tired of Data Minefield. It's a great track, but like, I just, when I start listening to the album, I'm like, really waiting for that song to be over so I can listen to the rest, because I've listened to it so many times that it's kind of like, I love the album too much. That's the problem. I'm stupid. Gotta let it go. Sorry.
Yeah, I agree.
Love you, David.
I know I said that I would die defending this, but I will give you 65.
Oh, okay.
And I'll tell you why. Because this is niche.
Mm-hmm.
Super niche. This album is for, you know, I'm sorry for the cliche, but like people who were born looking at the sky and like physically craving space. And you know, we're far away from the beginning of the podcast where the meme was that Eden is a fucking emotional wreck and cries all the time. It's also no longer close to 2014, so I'm not like that anymore. But this album still makes me, you know, yearn, mm-hmm. right? Feel loss. But
that JPEG,
if you take it,
JPEG.
Not JPEG loss, also JPEG loss, but also like, you know, deep, a feeling of missing out. Mm-hmm. And it's fantastic for that, but a lot of parts, when you take away that emotional impact, which I'm sure that a million people felt, like a million as in a high percentage of the people who actually heard this album, when you take that out, some of it was done by them better on previous albums, like Wild Light or We Were Exploding Anyway. That's what Nick would tell you. It's fantastic, but maybe within the context of their discography, it could have been better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, it's gone.
It's gone. I think it's your turn.
I know it is. I'm trying to decide between Shamash and Dark Tranquility, and I really wanted Shamash to make the top 10, and I was hoping that you would stand up for it more. but
I think that Atoma should go before it.
Really?
Yeah, because Atoma is a good album from a great, amazing, incredible band, but it doesn't have the cutting edge that, that Triangle has.
But it, counter argument is that Atoma is just really easy to listen to, and Triangle is really dense.
Yeah, but that's, I don't feel that that's top 10.
Okay. All right, like, it's the best Dark Tranquility I've been since Fiction.
Yeah.
Great songs, really catchy. The best the genre is at this point, like fucking Flames. Yeah. Great album. Love the title track. Love, fuck, let me just look at the track list for a second so that I can at least talk about a few things that are, was it Clear Skies? What was the name of that song?
Clear Skies, I think, yeah. Fantastic track.
Something Skies, the one that sounds a lot like Muse. It's fantastic. Time Out of Place. It's an amazing album. There's so much quality on the album. But yeah, I guess we gotta cut the poppy album to make room for the deep album to show that we're smart.
The virtue signal, yeah.
All right. Goodbye, Dark Tranquility. Love you. 13. Your turn.
Please end me.
Yeah, this is getting rough.
Wow. Okay, I'll give you Thank You Scientist.
Okay.
I'll tell you why. It's kind of the same as 65. Maps of Non-Existent Places, the previous one, is an album that I would die for that album. Like, it's so deeply connected to me, and I've had more time with it. Stranger Head Prevail is nearing that point, but it doesn't have the intimacy, right? Mm-hmm. And even within the year, it has lyrics that talk about, you know, intimate issues, but it feels a bit distant to me at times. They've also replaced some of it with a bit pretentiousness. What's that track called? It ends with like this sample of, "Where am I? Who am I? I am the architect of my own blah 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 blah." So, yeah, it could have been a bit shorter. When it's there for most of it, it's just fantastic.
And I didn't stand up for this album as much because I feel like I wasn't as surprised by this one as I was by Maps of Non-Existent Places.
Yeah, it doesn't blow you away, right? Yeah. It feels like it's happening at a distance a bit.
Yeah.
And my criticism for Pliny stands here as well. Mm-hmm. It does the same thing for the entirety of it, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't have somber tracks. And Maps didn't have any either, but Maps was fucking, what the hell is this, right? Mm-hmm. And Stranger doesn't have that impact.
Yep. Okay, 12. Man, really rough. So, I think I will sacrifice an album that I like more than some of the albums that are going to stay in, because I know I like it more than you do, and there's less of a chance of... Yeah, you know what I mean, right?
Dreamless.
No, actually, I'm not going to cut Dreamless. I'm going to cut Design, First Fragments.
Ah, yeah.
I really love that album. Yeah. It's great, but I listened to it way too much, and at this point, there isn't much left in that album for me. It's amazing playing. Like, they just put out a playthrough video like a couple days ago, and it's like inhuman. Some of the best tech death in its genre, but it's the least interesting genre of tech death to me among the genres of tech death that I like.
Yep.
So with that, I will offer up Design, and the court ball is in your court for one last time. Okay, so
fuck. I'm sorry for the dead air, but it's like,
yeah, we can compromise here maybe, but just tell me which one is of the remaining albums that you put here is the lowest on your list, lowest two. Is it Thrasen Blot?
Yeah.
What's the second lowest?
Mouth of the Architect.
Would you be willing to sacrifice that so that we can have a consensus on Thrasen Blot? Because I like Thrasen Blot more than Mouth of the Architect.
Sure, sure. I can agree with that. Yeah. So it's post-metal, and Noyan hates that.
I actually I did sit down and listen to this album a couple of times, but I just didn't get it.
And you liked it. You kind of liked it.
Yeah, but I didn't love
it. More than... Yeah. So I feel that what they do really interesting here is that they add a lot of stoner, which is in psychedelic, which is not what I expected from them. Their previous album is just post-metal.
Mm-hmm.
And this album has an amazing structure. It's eight tracks, half of eight, and it builds up. The first few tracks are momentum builders, and then it kind of explodes near the middle. But yeah, it has all the problems that post-metal always has. You can cut some of its parts extensively. You can give up a lot of the feedback. Yeah, and I'll sacrifice it for consensus.
Okay. Thank you for being the mature person. So now we have our top 10 albums. In alphabetic order still. We're going to rank them now. Aneon's Hypnosophy, Baby Metal's Metal Resistance, Fallujah's Dreamless, Catatonia's The Fall of Hearts, Oathbreaker's Rhea, Obscura's Acherosis, Shamash's Triangle, Throstenblatt's Metacatonia, Vector's Terminal Redux, and Yindi Halda's Under Summer.
So I'm very happy with this list. Just want to put that out, though.
Yeah, me too. I respect this. So here's the thing. It's probably going to get really difficult to do like a top order, the top five. I feel like we can probably order the bottom three or so. So there, I will propose a more mathematical method for when we reach a stalemate so that we break the stalemate. But I feel like there is a couple things that we can agree that would be at the bottom here.
Yeah.
So I feel like Throstenblatt is probably the bottom here.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm glad we agree. Great folky metal album. Great, just good. Let me make a one separate list here again so that we don't we can order it easier. Yeah, great stuff. I think it's the best Winter Sun since Winter Sun.
yeah, I agree.
But I also
think it's the best Agaloch since Agaloch.
Yeah, but I'm not into that stuff, so to me that's not like a selling point. And I'll bold this here to show that it's locked. But yeah, it's not It's great. I keep going back to it. It's really catchy, but I would not rate it over.
I agree. I feel like it's caught up in its own narrative.
Yeah.
And if they had broken out of it a bit, it could have been number one.
Yeah.
But they didn't. They stayed within their safe zone, I feel, as a band.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's the last, like it's top 10, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's the last within the top 10.
Yeah. And would you agree that Shamash would go at number 9 then?
Yes.
Because we came to cutting it, but we do like it. It's just that, yeah.
I feel like I can say the same thing about Shamash that I just said about Throstenblatt.
Mm-hmm.
Very preoccupied with its own structure.
Yeah.
Very preoccupied with its own limits. Those limits are so wide and so amazing. But yeah, it gets really, really, really tiring at parts.
Mm-hmm.
When it doesn't, it's just holy fuck. But when it does, it's, yeah, it takes away from it a bit.
So let me, at this point, I think we can, let's make our, we're at 8 albums. So if we both make our top 3, which is probably separate, clear, we will still end up with 2 albums that we can probably discuss on rank 7 and 8.
So good idea.
My top 3 is going to be Acherosis from Obscura, Baby Metal's Metal Resistance, and Fallujah's Dreamless. So that okay, let me mark these so that Fallujah's Dreamless, Baby Metal, Metal Resistance, and Obscura's Acherosis. So given these, I presume your top 3 is separate from these. So
yes.
If you do your top 3, let's argue about the remaining 2 albums.
So mine is Yindi Halda.
Mm-hmm. Italicize it instead of underline so that ours are different.
Yeah. What are you doing?
I got it.
Okay. Vector's Terminal Redux.
Okay.
And Catatonia's The Fall of Hearts.
Vector and Wait, no. Just let me handle this.
I'm not touching anything. You made that mess.
Sorry. And you said Catatonia's The Fall of Hearts.
Yeah.
So that leaves Aeonion and Oathbreaker. Is that correct?
Yeah. So Oathbreaker should be 8.
Really?
Yeah.
Let me think about that. I love the Aeonion album, but I feel like after the first 4 tracks, it kind of really falls off.
Okay, I might agree with that, but I feel like Aeonion is a bomb that exploded completely with all of its magnitude, and Oathbreaker stopped at 98%. There was more there to be explored, I feel. More there to be dredged.
But also, and Oathbreaker is a more quality album, whereas Aeonion is kind of janky, if that makes sense.
Yeah, but I feel like I'm looking within the subjective, you know, potential of the band, right? You understand what I'm saying? Like, Aeonion went all the way. They didn't leave anything out. everything that they wanted on this album is on this album. Whereas Oathbreaker, I feel like some parts that they wanted to go full on, they held back just a tiny bit.
Okay. All right. We're okay with that. So now we have, this is going to be tough. Six albums. So what was your number one?
Yndi Halda.
Okay. And mine is Obscure. So, and our, your number three was
Vector.
Vector. And my number three was Fallujah. Was your number two?
Catatonia.
Catatonia. Okay. So, let's see. I'm trying.
Are you gonna give me Vector over Fallujah?
But then you would have to, I would ask, are you gonna give me Baby Metal over Catatonia? And I don't know if you're willing to do that.
I'm willing to do that.
Okay. Then that is a gentleman's trade, and I will respect
yeah.
that. Yeah. You said Vector over Fallujah, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Oops. Let me get that, lock that in there. Vector. I respect
this
that.
Is live.
Yeah, this is happening live. So
this is raw.
Yeah. We're going raw. And then we had Yndi Halda, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So we have this. So Yndi Halda and Obscura.
Yeah, so...
So, disclosure, Yndi Halda is totally not my thing. But I completely respect you, obviously. So you were going to say something?
I'll tell you. Yeah, I'll put it like this. Yndi Halda, I feel, and, you know, respect me for not going overboard or being melodramatic,
sure.
is, for me, the best post-rock album of all time. I feel like they really dug deep into what post-rock means and why it exists, and then completely trashed the place and restructured everything. So whether it's the inclusion of vocals that weren't on their previous album, which was like 8 years ago, and the way in which those vocals are done, they're not the math rock emo vocals that post-rock is used to. The arrangements are... They make no sense within the genre, but yet they're so post-rock. I feel like they captured something of the essence of the genre and really elevated it, which is why I feel like, you know, it's beyond my love for it, right? It's monumental, I feel. This is an album that, you know, Post-Rock Raven, the Facebook page, mm-hmm. they post like classic album covers. Mm-hmm. They will post this in 15 years.
Okay. Well, Facebook is...
Yeah.
Okay.
You know what I mean.
So... I hear you, and I respect you, and I will offer you a, I will offer you something, and if you don't want to take it, I'll respect that and concede. I don't care about post-rock, and I didn't listen to this album. And this is unfair, by the way. This is completely unfair to you, but that's why I'm letting you accept it or not. You mm-hmm. Kind of listen to Obscura and appreciate them a little bit, so... if you think that we...
I would have to travel like less than you would have to travel for Yndi Halda.
That is the complete, but since you're going to be the one who... Well, I don't know why you're the one. Maybe Akira isn't... Well, it is a pretty revolutionary Tech Death album. Tech Death isn't a genre that's as singular as post-rock, I feel like, in that it's hard to say who's the best at it, but this is a really good one. And, you know, the use of fretless guitars completely puts the album over the top. Weltseele is in, that's completely on Tom, by the way, and it's an amazing epic of the genre. It's a really solid album through and through, completely creative, despite being the band's, like, fourth album and still being in their framework. Amazing musicianship, amazing lyrics, too. Great lead work, best in the genre. So I can't,
I mean, is this your number one?
Yeah, it is. That's why I'm
okay. Fine. I'll concede. Yeah.
Oh
yeah. I mean, I see your point about, you know, this is a list that we make together.
Yeah.
Right. And if I can, you know, if you have to walk more towards me than I have to walk towards you, then I'll walk towards you.
How about to appease you further? I mean, you already conceded, but, how about we reverse the Baby Metal Fallujah deal, so Catatonia gets 3, Baby Metal gets 4, Fallujah gets 6, Vector gets 5.
No, I don't think that's necessary. I mean, okay. I still have 4 and 5 Katatonia and Vector.
Okay.
So I'm happy with that.
Okay, if you have, then we're locking it in. Last chance to cry.
No.
Okay.
Do it.
Then here is our final, and thank you for being a gentleman and conceding in this regard.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, I think this was a very interesting exercise. Because, okay, wait, I'll leave that for the end.
Oh, okay. The final ordered list is number 1. So let me go from 10. It's not like they don't already know, but number 10, Throstenblatt Medectonia. Number 9, Shamash Triangle. Number 8, Oathbreaker Rhea. Number 7, Anion Hypnosophy. Number 6, Fallujah Dreamless. Number 5, Vector Terminal Redux. Number 4, Katatonia The Fall of Hearts. Number 3, Baby Metal Metal Resistance. Number 2, Yindihalda Under Summer. Number 1, Obscura Acrosis. Yay! Yeah. Cue the...
Well done.
Fanfare. There we go. Forgot the word.
Will you add air horns?
No, I'm too lazy.
Okay, fine. So I wanted to say two things here. One, and this is very important for me to put out there. You gotta understand, and I'm talking to the listeners now, mm-hmm. because you already know this. The most... A virtue signaling thing you can do, the most therefore political thing you can do, is self-curate. Libraries, music you share to Facebook, mm-hmm. pictures you share to Facebook, end of the year album lists are some of the purest forms for which you want to be perceived by others, mm-hmm. right? So you gotta understand that meta considerations, subjective considerations, some places try to clear them out and be objective. These are the least objective things out there.
Yeah.
Lists kind of give the illusion of objectiveness because it has numbers in it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we do statistics, so it has to be objective. But this is the least objective thing. It's all about how you want to display yourself. So embrace it. Have fun with it. Like Noyan putting Baby Metal so high on his list, that tells people something, right?
Yeah,
it says,
I legitimately love that album so much. Listen to that more than anything else except for Obscura this year. Went to see them live, like traveled many miles to see them live, and I just fucking love them despite how cheesy it is.
But it also says, you know, I feel that metal should be fun.
Yeah.
Right? And that the, you know, artificially building a band, quote unquote, doesn't take away from the music. It says all sorts of things about you. Same thing with me and putting Yindihalda so high, right?
I'm okay with nominating a Tech Death album, Baby Metal, and an avant-garde black metal album in the same list. I don't feel shame.
It communicates a lot about who we are. That's one. The second thing is, I feel like this is a really interesting exercise because of the tactical element of it in how people perceive each other. Like, we both got a lot of things wrong about each other, and albums that we thought that the other would have a hard time giving up really weren't that hard for the other party.
And also, I appreciate that we both played nice for the most part.
Yeah, for sure. And I feel like it speaks a lot about, you know, how we communicate with each other and how we present ourselves. Why did I think that, you know, Fallujah wasn't that big a deal for you? How did that discourse get created? How did I come to that image?
To be fair, I didn't really talk about it as much, and it grew on me over the time.
And you started by not liking it.
Yeah, and over time, I was like, you know what? I'm going to listen to The Void Alone. You know, I'm sitting in the car, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to listen to, I forget the name of the song, Faces of Death. And then, like, you know, the more I realize that I sit down and I want to listen to something, but I don't know what I listen to, I end up going to this album, and I realize that I actually really love it. But I'd never really talked about it because it was a very subtle process for me.
Yeah. So we don't have time to like explore the full details of this, but you can see how lists are more than just cataloging albums. So yeah. And even if you're not a music journalist, or there aren't a lot of people who follow you on Facebook and care about your top 25, have at it. It's a really fun exercise.
Mm-hmm.
Makes you question a lot of things about your taste, how it's formed, how you share it with others.
Yeah.
So yeah, give it a whirl.
Definitely. And I enjoyed this. I'm glad it didn't turn into shit flinging despite you being drunk. And yeah, as I said, I'm glad we played fair because as I said the other time, like I've seen other podcasts do it and like devolve completely into awfulness. But yeah, I'm great. Love you.
You know, metalheads are more intelligent. We're more sensitive. Yeah, I love you too, man. Thanks for doing this podcast with me.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
And
so do we want to talk about the future maybe until 2017?
I think we've had enough time this time around. We still aim to do a Cool People episode, and we can also do the meta thing in the Cool People episode. I think it's good to leave this block singular.
Yeah, pure.
Yeah. All right. Cool. So one last time, Obscura, Yindihalda, Baby Metal, Catatonia, Vector, Fallujah, Aenyon, Oathbreaker, Shamash, Thras, and Blood. Listen to these albums. If you listen to this podcast, you probably already listened to some of these. So, yeah.
Yeah. Also, audibletrial.com/heavy.
Ah, there we go. Also,
love us.
Funnily, Ethics and Metal Journalism, but our number one album, two musicians on that album have been on this podcast already, and one of them is on my band as well. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But no, it's totally
Metal unrelated. Mafia. But,
I just legitimately love this album.
Cool.
All right. Well, thank you for listening.
Thank you, guys.
And see you next time and then next year. Bye.
Bye-bye.